Okay, we're going to take our Bibles and go to 3 John 2. 3 John 2. And I would like to do a little series of teachings on the subject of God's deliverance. I don't know how far we'll go or where we'll go. I just know God wants us to look at His Word concerning the things that He's made available for deliverance. There's a great need in our family and fellowship for deliverance of healing. And God is a delivering God. And so I just think it would be great to spend time in God's Word in an area that we really want to see come to pass. And it is coming to pass. I mean, we got a an example of that right here. And there is need, and some of you know about it, some of you don't. But just to take a look at God's Word concerning this subject. Not that any of us have no clue about God's healing, but to hone in on it and really continue to fortify our hearts and lives in the great truths concerning healing and deliverance that God makes available. Healing has always been a need for people ever since Adam and Eve got removed from the garden. Ever since then, man gets sick and man dies. And, it's always been a need. And God has always provided an answer for that. It's in His Word. It's very clear. And some people have taken advantage of that and tapped into it, and some have not. But Adam's disobedience is what caused sickness to come and death to come, as we understand from God's Word. They disobeyed. Their sin was tainted because of sin, and it contaminated the bloodstream. Blood's the life of the body and the soul, and it breaks down, eventually starts breaking down that body. It turns into sickness, turns into worse things, death. So he's the culprit, but we're not going to spend much time on that. But we are going to look at what God has made available in light of that problem. In 3 John 2, you can read it by memory, but I'll just read it out of here. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." That's a real clear verse as to that God's will is that He wants us to be prosperous, and He wants us to be healthy. Good and healthy. Let's go to Psalm 103. God's will for us is to be healthy. When we're not healthy, God wants us to get healed. there are many people who actually think that God makes you sick or gives you diseases or kills you. Rich was just telling me right before fellowship that his dad, who's, as we know, is very ill, thought that God was punishing him with sickness. And so Rich shared, the word about it and cleared it up so that he had a better understanding. But a lot of people think that God makes you sick. Strike them down to make them humble. Use it as like a tool. I'm going to humble you and put you in your place because you've been a bad boy. So here's a little scurve or a little this or a little that. And people think that. They really do. This is totally contrary, though. Psalm 103, verse 3. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction," even if you're the one causing it. "Redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Certainly, clearly shows God's will. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. So many of these scriptures that we'll look at, we have seen, read, thought about, memorized. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 24. who his own self, referring to Jesus Christ, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. By whose stripes you were healed. And that, we're in that. We're part of that you. Jesus Christ's accomplishments for us are numerous, and one of them is healing. Healing became available as far as a promise and a right, where you as a believer can just go to God and go to his throne and thank him for healing. It's really a great accomplishment. Nice to be able to have that. So healing is available to us. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Healing is for us, and it's available to us. And we can tap into that to get help, to get healed, and to get healthy, and to stay healthy. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. This is a verse about Jesus Christ, kind of like a little partial summation of his life and ministry. Partial. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, if God, you know, if you think that God makes people sick, Jesus Christ sure screwed it up. Because everybody God was acting sick, he was going around making them better. He messed it up. He didn't get the memo, I guess. Either that or something's a little different. We know it's a little different. It says where the illnesses were coming from. Healing all that were oppressed of, not God, but of the devil. We clearly understand that. But there are a lot of people that just, they haven't been taught, and they ignorantly just think, oh, I guess God's punishing me. But that's not the case. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. This is a prophecy, Jesus Christ quoting a scripture from Isaiah in the beginning of his ministry. Isaiah 53, which was a prophecy concerning what his life would be and his ministry, what he would accomplish. And in verse 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And this is what he did do. There was no one up until that point that ever healed so many people in such a volume and so quickly. Just, it was phenomenal. He was the greatest miracle worker that ever walked the face of the earth, the greatest healer that ever walked the face of the earth. I mean, he just like blew the devil out of the water in people's lives with truth and with God's delivering power. And we're going to look at some of that stuff because it's needful to do. We're going to look at a lot of records. And there's nothing like putting the Word of God in on our minds. To receive healing, we need to believe what God's Word says, as we understand. You know, believing is the key to receiving. To be, we need to get to a point where we're deliverance-minded, healing-minded, miracle-minded. And that takes a fortification of the brain, where we put the Word of God in our brain consistently and fortify it. And get a mindset that's like bolstered on truth. Jesus Christ was definitely a miracle-minded individual. He was a healing-minded individual. Otherwise, it would have never happened, as you know, what is shown in the Gospels. And it's available to anybody. When Jesus Christ read those scriptures in Isaiah 53 of what he was going to do, like Luke 4:18 says. He had to fortify in his brain, okay, that's what I'm going to be doing. And fortified his thinking with truth concerning God's ability, God's power, how to operate that power, and the circumstances that would come up. He had to stand on what God's word says. He had to make choices as a minister, just like the person receiving has to make choices. Is God's word true or not? I mean, we certainly take a lesson from the Lord Jesus Christ as far as healing. He just healed so much. So we're just going to read some of the records, some of them. We're just going to start in Matthew, read some of the ones in Matthew, and then Mark, and then Luke. But we want to build the Word of God, continue to build the Word of God on this subject into the every fabric of our thinking. So it's just right there. Just a really great thing. So, Matthew chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 23. We're just going to read a number of these. Verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. That's quite a statement. I mean, it covers a lot of stuff. All manner of sickness, all manner of disease. Does that cover? We haven't really experienced seeing leprosy in our day and time, but leprosy is a hideous disease where your skin just starts rotting on your own body, and you see it, and then it gets bigger and worse and worse and worse, to a point that other people say, hey, you can't stay around us anymore, because it was very easy to catch. But all manner of sickness, all manner of disease, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken of many diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. I mean, it's a couple of short verses, but there's a lot in there when you think about it. It'd be like going to Jersey Shore Hospital, and anybody that's in there, you get a list of all the different sicknesses and things that are going on in there, healed them all. It's a lot of lists. It's got to be a pretty long list, any hospital you go to. Just incredible. But they're not just words on the page. They actually happened. Chapter 8, verse 13. One of the things I've done through the years when I read records, whatever it is, concerning God's miracles or delivering power or healing, I try to put myself in those, like in that situation, just to picture it better in my own heart, to make it more real for me. Because they aren't just stories, they're actual events that happened. And Jesus said unto, verse 13, chapter 8, Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. And when evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And that's the section where I was just making reference to that he read that when he was growing up and saw that that was something that he was going to do. That was part of his ministry. And the things that he did to fortify his brain so he can walk into that and deliver like he delivered. with people, with God's people, God's word. Let's go to chapter 12. Because he was a man just like us, a person. I had to figure it out and put it in his head and keep it in his head and rivet his thinking on it. You know, no different than us. The only difference between him and us is his name. No. is that he had perfect blood. The blood was without sin. But a blood without sin doesn't cause your brain to do certain things. He had to learn the exact same process that anybody else does. Just put it on his head and keep putting it in there and keeping it in there. Chapter 12, verse 9. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? And he said this because that they might accuse him. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on him, hold on it, and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Great logic. Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. And that's quite a reaction to a great healing. Not the best reaction, but it is a reaction. Verse 15, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. Verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Just moved in among those people. He saw great need, and it was a lot of people. It says a multitude. And he just moved among them, and he healed people. It's just... And we have the same ability, which is pretty wild. There's a little difference in level of accomplishments, but we do still have, you know, we keep trying. We keep working at it, and we stay faithful to it. But that's why I said, there's nobody that ever did it in the volume and in the speed like he did. Just incredible. It shouldn't get us depressed. I remember the first time I read the book of Acts after I started getting in the Word, I was depressed. It was like, man, they did some incredible things. And it's not happening for me. And then I changed my thinking, you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, it bothered me when I read the book of Acts. It was like, oh, man, I am not doing it. Want to, but I'm not there. But we don't have to be like this reading this stuff. He did it. But we're going to look at how he did it and why he did it, but not today. Chapter 14, verse 34. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Donnie brought this up the other night. This floored me. I had forgotten that this was even in here, and that got me thinking, you know, gosh, I think I need a tune-up. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. So he shows up, men in that country recognized, ah, that's Jesus Christ. And they had heard what he had been doing and sent out, hey, anybody that needs healing, bring them over. Jesus Christ is here. Something. And when the men of that place, in verse 36, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. So they sent out, go get everybody that's sick. It's got a problem. And when they brought him, and they said, all see, just touch the hem of his garment. And boom, everybody that touched the hem of his garment got completely healed. It says made perfectly whole. Like Connie said a little while ago, God doesn't do things in half measure. If he's going to deliver you, you're delivered. You know? Like water in a milkshake. Here's your half a milkshake. No, I paid for all of them. Something. Let's go to chapter 15. That's just a great scripture. They just went for it and got it. Chapter 15, verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the city, unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. And just brought out all these people with great need and said, here, take them. Help them. And he healed them all. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now, that's a much better reaction than those other guys we just read about, where they sought counsel to how they're going to kill him after they saw him heal the guy with the withered hand. Just to see that would just be incredible. What would it do to our hearts if we saw all those people right in front of us? I mean, it'd be pretty cool to see. Just to see it, let alone be a part of it, as far as the healing. Chapter 19. The lame to walk, the blind to see, the dumb to speak. Chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Just incredible. A lot of people. That's why I say, never done in such a volume and so quickly. You know, the multitudes came, he ministered healing, they got done, boom, they left. Done. Chapter 21. We all get sick at times. Sometimes we get something that's a real doozy. That's like really bad. And God's willing for us to get healed. We've seen so many deliverances in our fellowship through the years. It's just incredible. And want to continue. 21 verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them, the blind and the lame. Somebody had to lead those blind people over to him, unless they could smell them. But they couldn't see. Somebody was with them, holding their hand or whatever. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the son of David, they were sore displeased. Boy, that's a mindset I would never want to get near. In my own heart and life, to get upset that God's people are getting delivered. Creepy. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. It's just great to read these things, to fortify our thinking with God's word concerning health, healing, deliverance. Mark chapter 1, verse 34. Well, we'll pick it up in verse 32. It says, "And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of many diseases and cast out many devils, and allowed not the devils to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went on a vacation and said, well, I can't handle this anymore. Well, he got up early and prayed. And Simon, verse 36, and they that were with him followed after him, and when he had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in the synagogue throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." That must have been a great day for that guy. I mean, just... chapter 3, verse 7. This is 7 through 11, so this is the store. Chapter 3, verse 7. "But Jesus withdrew himself from the with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan." So these people were making quite a trip to come follow him. "And they about Tyre and Sidon, and a great multitude, and when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. And he spake unto his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. And he healed many, insomuch that they were pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God." Must have been great to see. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Verse 17. "And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples with a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and he healed, and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him," or power, "and healed them all." Chapter 9, verse 11. "And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing." Healed them that had need of healing. Now, think about this. Jesus Christ healed, it's pretty obvious, he healed a lot of people, and people that, whoever went up to him or even went by him, got healed. What if somebody was in that multitude, had a problem, but said, I'm not going to go by him? He'd leave still with a problem. Because it is an individual thing where you have to want to be healed and make yourself available to God to get healed. All those that went to him are the ones that got healed, which is quite a thing. Luke chapter 14. They had to make that effort, which we're going to look at another time. What's involved? Chapter 14, verse 1. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And I don't think that's where you drop everything that you try to put in your hand. Yeah, the dropsy, that's, you know, some people do have that problem. Seems like everything they pick up, they break. But that's not this dropsy. I don't know what the drop. What is dropsy, sis?
It's pretty much like a swelling, like an edema of the
swelling of a lamb or something.
As far as I know, and then so then you do drop things, but it's just like you get weakness because you have too much fluid in this room. So as far as I know, I could be wrong, but I think that's what.
So this guy had the dropsy. So he's planted in there with Jesus Christ. He's at this Pharisee's house, and they're checking out to see what he's going to do. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him. All right? Not against the law? I'm going to heal him. He heals him, lets him go. And answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. And they weren't going to answer him at all. they were trying to trap him, but it didn't quite work. He healed that fella. Even though he was being used, he still got healed. Chapter 17. Verse 11. This one really struck me the other day reading this. Chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They were way over there. Because the lepers, as you probably are aware, were not allowed to circulate with regular people. They had their own camp, highly contagious. They didn't know what to do with them other than to separate them. But they still were people, still had to eat, still had to drink, still had to function. So they hear of Jesus Christ coming in, and they're standing afar off. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they holler out. Stood afar off, verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he had saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. So he's calling back, hey, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. It didn't happen until as they started going forward. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Can you imagine? You're with 9 other people, and you're walking. He said to go to see the priest. So let's go see the priest. And as you're walking, you know, if your arms are kind of going like this, all of a sudden you may notice, my fingers look better. It's going to make you want to look at something else. Maybe take some bandages off. My arm's better. And somebody says, hey, your face actually looks good. Hey, you've got skin on your head. The joy and rejoicing that must have hit their heart at that point. I can't explain it. How joyful they must have been. 10 of them. 10 guys that got their life back. They now could live with people, eat with people, drink with people, enjoy fellowshipping with people. They're not outcasts. They don't smell. They don't hurt. Their bodies restored completely. All because Jesus said, hey, go show yourself to the priest. They were being kind and staying in their spot by saying, hey, Jesus, over here, we got a need. You know, they didn't run up to him. But we read the one record where the guy did go up to him. He was right there. Jesus Christ hugged him. Here, they stayed their distance. They knew their, so to speak, their place in society. You know, they were abiding by certain loving acts. So, here they are. They're cleansed. One of them comes back with a loud voice glorifying God. Verse 16 again, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? And one of the other translations I read, he said, didn't 10 get healed? Didn't all 10 get healed? He was like, did only one get healed? What? I sent all 10 and only one got healed? He was like, what? He was a little stymied there. Only one got healed. Verse 18. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. You know, I thought 10 got healed. But where are the 9? Verse 19. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy believing hath made thee whole. So this guy got a wholeness, not just healing, but a complete wholeness of his life. 9 went, did what they were supposed to do. They got healed. But this guy had a thankful heart to boot. Decided to turn around and give thanks. And what a way of living life when we get delivered, that we remember who's the one that healed us. You know, who's that delivering God that really did something for our lives? And are we going to serve him better than we ever have before? You know, if I got in a car accident today and I hit the windshield and I died and some ambulance guy runs in, ministers healing to me and raises me from the dead, I might say to myself, dang, I'm going to do even more for God. I had no life and all of a sudden I got one. I'm going to do more. Why not? Why be like that selfish 9 and say, I don't have to go back and say anything to him. I'm just going to live my life. Oh, yeah, we can just go live our life. Yep, there's the 9. And it would be great, wonderful. God's not going to hold it against him. But sure, you know, he does want that thankfulness and that heart to say, he wants us to serve him. So this one guy came back and said, hey, thank you very much. And then I'm sure he went to see the priest, you know, like he was directed to do. So it's pretty cool. So I really would like to go over a lot of things concerning healing and deliverance. God heals the good, he heals the bad. He heals the thankful, he heals the unthankful. He heals the just, he heals the unjust. God's not a respecter of the individual, other than the person has to believe for it to happen, because God won't force healing upon him. But all the other things, you could be the bastard of all bastards. Or you could be the goodiest of all goodies. God heals. He really does. Look at those 9. They just didn't turn them into having a thankful heart. So there is a thing, you probably remember, we did a thing on the manifestations. I think that was 6 years ago. I was looking at my notes. And I went over... manifestations of believing, miracles, and healing, and they're still accessible on the cloud thing that Rube's been diligently through the years putting all the teachings on. And if you don't know how to get on it, Rube can show you or give you the access thing. It's a lot of letters and numbers. But I was looking at my notes and I was like flabbergasted. Oh, there's a lot in there. So, but just if you want to take time through the different weeks to just read a lot about healing, God's deliverance, you can look at those things. There's plenty of teachings that have been recorded through the years on healing, on deliverance, and it's just a great thing. We have a great a great big wonderful God, and we got he's a delivering God. And next time we get together, which will be 2 weeks, we'll continue. But I'd like to go into what it is that we actually do and how hard that is. It's really easy. But there are things that God looks, he needs to have a condition set. How did Jesus Christ get to be so good at what he did? So it's pretty cool. There is a song that if anybody knows how the heck to sing it, or wants to just make up a melody. It's number 44. I was looking this morning at songs, and I was reading the words to this. I thought, oh man, we only knew how to sing it. So I don't know who wrote it, when it came about. I have no clue anything. I've never heard it before. But read the words in this. It was number 4. God is faithful. In these times of tribulation, troubled seas on every side, God is still the rock of ages. Only God can turn the tide. God is faithful to his word. God is able to deliver. God is my strength, my joy, and song. A loving God is he. I will bring my thoughts to his word. I will seek the will of my Father. My sufficiency for eternity, my God alone will be. When my thoughts have erred and wandered, earthly wisdom does deceive. All my heart must trust in God's word. It is written, I believe. Flesh is weak, but God is the fountain. God's great love will never fail. I will turn to God my Father. He will help me to prevail. It's a great song. I don't know how it goes. So if anybody can figure it out or has heard of it and wants to teach it, that would be great. But great words to it. Really wonderful. So we do have a great, big, wonderful God.